good to be in God's house one more time. Just to sing praises to his high and holy name. I want to thank all of these song leaders that have led us in songs of praise. I'm awfully glad to see Brother Foster, who led singing for me over, well, many years ago. And his wife, they have encouraged me across the years. And I'm happy to see this young man leading songs of praise. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about the family of God. And we're going to talk about how our youth should be a part of the work of the church and the work of the Lord. It's a great family, and all of us working together can do great things. I want to thank the leadership of this meeting for inviting me to a nice meal this afternoon. We enjoyed the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. And I appreciate all of the leaders that are working. Would you stand, the leaders of this revival, the elders, the ministers? Again, I want to thank you for inviting me to come and to be a part of this revival meeting. There was a time that the Church of Christ needed a revival. That time is now. As I travel across this brotherhood of ours, I see many churches that used to be congregations that had large numbers and many activities. They are now dead. And there's something that needs to be done in order to revive the churches of Christ. There's only one church. We just meet in different places. And when we learn that even though we have our church autonomy, with the local congregations, we must also remember that we are the body of Christ. And we must work together in an area and in a city as the body of Christ. Some of us have almost become sectarian in that we have separated ourselves from other congregations. And there are some congregations that don't know other leaders and members of other congregations. And we need to have a greater fellowship in the body of Christ. Tonight, I have a presentation. I hope some of you can see it. I don't stop with the presentation, the PowerPoint. I'm going to go on and preach, whether it's on the line that I'm on, but my daughter is handling it for me. And I hope you will have the text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Let me see on the left side how many Bibles we have. All right, you got yours tonight. Praise God. Amen. Very good. I'm going to give you some scripture too. All right, let's see the right side. How many Bibles? All right, almost. Would you stand and sing my song? I'm so glad Obama lifted me. No, I'm so glad Jesus. That's the one that lifts us. There's a little draft here for me. Yes, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory,
hallelujah.
Well, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I
was,
yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was burdened, yes, Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory,
hallelujah.
Well, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I was in trouble, yeah, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I
was in trouble,
yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, when I
was in trouble,
I know that Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory,
hallelujah. Jesus
Satan. Oh, Satan had me bound, but he lost. Oh, Satan had me bound. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. I'm singing glory. Well, now I'm on my way. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus. Oh, I'm on my. Yes, Jesus lifted me. Oh, I'm on my way to heaven because Jesus lifted me. I'm saying glory. Well, Jesus lifted me. If he'd done something for your life and bless your soul, lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. All right, kindly be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. You've been mighty good to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And you who don't know him, what a friend we, oh yes, have in Jesus. All of our sins, all our sins and grace to bear. And then what a privilege, what a privilege. Lift your hands one more time and thank him. Is to carry not some things but everything. Everything to thank you, God in prayer. So we came tonight to say thank you. Thank you, dear. Oh, yes. Thank you. Oh, you healed our body. You brought us from nowhere to somewhere. You put shelter over our heads, food on our table, and we say much obliged. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Nobody did it but you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And all the church said, amen. Amen. Investing in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Let's turn to Matthew's gospel as recorded by him in Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to start, if you please, with the verse that's on the screen. What is it? Verse 10. All right, Matthew 6 and verse number 10. And what does it say? Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
Uh-huh.
In earth.
Uh-huh.
As it is in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Give us this day.
Yes.
Our daily bread.
All right.
And forgive us of our debts.
Yes. As we forgive
our debts.
And lead us what?
Not to temptation.
But do what?
Deliver us from evil.
Yes.
For thine is the kingdom.
Uh huh.
And the power.
And what
and
else?
The glory forever. Amen.
All right. Let the whole church now, let us read in unison together, verse 19. Lay not for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your
treasure is,
there will your heart be also. Tonight, I wish to place upon your heart the importance of investing in the kingdom of God. There are those that are making investments now, but the investments that they have made are earthly. And when they die, they don't have a right to those investments anymore. There are some investments that are not secure, and some people have lost a lot of their monies and their possessions because they invested in the wrong thing. In the spiritual realm, we're going to elucidate on the fact that there are some honest and sincere people that have made some spiritual investments that are insecure. But tonight I want to emphasize that our Lord said that we need to make investments with the bank of heaven. He tells us that one day we're going to draw on the bank of heaven because of our investments. Now I want to say tonight that the investment place is the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And when we talk about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, we are talking about the church of Jesus Christ. If you have made an investment in a church that's not found in the Bible, I'm going to show you tonight that that's not a wise investment. There are those who teach that damnable doctrine that the kingdom is yet to come. And some of my brethren are teaching that doctrine that the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is future tense. Our government thinks that they have to reserve Jerusalem because Jesus is coming back and he's going to establish his kingdom, his reign in the city of Jerusalem. But I want to tell you, my friends, that the kingdom is already here. I was talking to a Jehovah Witness, and they said that the kingdom has not come on earth, but it was established in heaven in the year of 1914. That also is a lie. It can be, substantiated by the word of God. But Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this what? I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here Jesus used the church and kingdom interchangeable. The kingdom is the church, and the church is the kingdom. If you want to drive some Jehovah Witness from your doors, all you need to do is to go to Colossians 1:13. I had one that came to my door, and he said, Backers, I'm here to represent the kingdom hall, and you got to get ready for the kingdom. And he said that we must pray for the kingdom to come. And he went to Matthew 6 and 10, and Jesus said, when you pray, you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And he said, we are waiting for the kingdom to come. I said, well, you don't have to wait, because the kingdom is already here. And I went to Colossians 1:13, and Paul said, we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And he said, I didn't know that verse was there. I said, that's the reason. You need to get out of that movement. And a part of that group was a member of our congregation now, because of the statement that I made in Colossians 1:13. And they said, you mean to tell me the kingdom has been established? I said, yes. When you're born again, John 3:5, Jesus said, except a man is born of what? Water and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is the church of God. In Colossians 1:18, he said he is the head of the body of the church. So he used the church and kingdom synonymous over here in Colossians 1:13. And so when we make our investment, make sure that we are investing in the kingdom of God, or the church of God, or the church of Christ. Other investments are all in vain. Well, Brother Backers, how long will my investment in the kingdom of God last? Well, just as long as the kingdom lasts. For the Bible tells us when the church of the kingdom was prophesied in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, it shall come to pass in the last days, that is, that's Isaiah 2 and 2, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that will what? Never be destroyed. So the kingdom of God will never be destroyed. When you invest in the kingdom of God, you are investing in something that will stand forever. And the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28, wherefore we have received a kingdom that cannot be moved. Don't you worry about the church of Christ, because in general the church of Christ will stand forever. Now there are some local congregations that will die. Mm-hmm. But the universal kingdom, the universal church, is going to stand forever. Some of the members asked me, Brother Backus, what are we going to do when you die? What's going to happen to the church? Well, the church will continue on, because God said the church will stand forever. Now, in order for the local church to survive, you're going to have great leaders of the church. I'm going to talk more about that on Thursday night. You have to have some good elders and some good deacons. I mean real elders, not elders. There's a lot of difference. You got to have some deacons in the church. And if they don't deed them. Because the church must have good leadership. And in order to have good leadership, you have to have good followership. And the reason why I have been at the same congregation for 55 years is because we have had good leadership. So goes the leader, so goes the congregation. And I'm going to point out on tomorrow evening that our churches are dying of old age. We have graying members of the church. And you look out in the congregation, they're balding now. And you got some of our sisters that used to be able to move around, and they're not able to climb up all of these steps and etc. The church is aging. Well, you have to bring in new members into the local congregations of the church. Can a local church die? Yes. The church in Jerusalem died. in a local congregation die? Yes. The church at Corinth died. The church at Ephesus died. And Paul, when he wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor, he said, you are just about ready to die. And there are some congregations in California that are dead. And some are almost dead. And some are ready to die. Uh-huh. All they need is to be buried. But on the other hand, the church universal will stand forever. I want to tell you, my friends, Jesus said, where your treasure is, whoo, there will your heart be also. That means those who are in the kingdom, they are heavenly minded. The reason we can't get too much done in some churches today is because they are too earthly minded. But if we are heavenly minded, then our goal is to make heaven our home in the great after while. But I want to tell you what we must invest in order to keep this church or to keep the kingdom alive, locally and universally. First of all, we're going to have to give some time to the work of the church and the work of the Lord. We have too many members of the Church of Christ that tell you, I don't have time. Well, I got news for you. All of us have the same time. 168 hours in a week, 24 hours in a day. And we have it 7 days a week. All of us have the same time. It's how we use our time. And we got to take time to serve the Lord. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, the Bible said, redeeming or make use of the time, because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I'm going to talk a little bit on Thursday evening. Some of us are just wasting a lot of time. We got a lot of brethren that will get in meetings that waste a lot of time. We got some congregation that have been planning programs and have never gotten them off, because they just waste a lot of time. Well, we don't have a lot of time. Yes, you say, we have a lot of time. Oh, no. Look at your hair. We don't have a lot of time. Look at your teeth falling out. You don't have a whole lot of time. And you're sitting up there saying, well, I can't see why we must do this. Well, God didn't tell you to see. He told you to walk by faith and not by sight. We've got a lot of leaders of the church and a lot of members of the church. We can't go out. Who are the we? I'm ready to do the Lord's will. Titus 3:1 says, put the brethren in mind to be ready for every good work. The reason some kingdoms and some churches are dying is because they are not ready. It did not say get ready. It said be ready for every good work. So we must invest some time. We have to have some deacons and elders that will give some time to the planning and the program of the church. Where I preach, we are planning 15 years from now. I may not be around. I hope I am. But I don't think I'll be here 15 years from now, active as I am now. But there are those that are coming behind us that can carry on the plan. We have a $20 million program for our senior citizen. We're going to build in the next few years. It's in the making now. We are planning to reach the whole world with our website. And channel BET have contacted me and TV1 and said, Backus, we've heard you on other stations. We want to hear you on BET and TV1. All I'm waiting is for the brethren to get the money together, and I'm ready to be on any station that will have us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we got to give some time to the work of the church and the planning of the church. And let me say this. This is in my lesson. It's in my lesson on the last night, because I hope I'll have my check by then, and then I can get out of here. But on the other hand, there are those that think that the elders and the deacons, they know everything. And they can't do anything in a church without the elders. Sure, the elders are to lead and guide by example. But there are some gifted members in the Lord's church that need to be used. Some of our brethren, the only scripture they know is that women ought to keep silent in the church. Well, if the women kept silent with their pocketbook, we wouldn't have too much of a collection on Sunday. And if they would be silent in their singing, we wouldn't have too much singing going on. But you got to put that scripture in the proper perspective. Paul said to the Philippian church, help those women that labor with me in the gospel. Where I preach, we have a church administrator. At one time, she was the head of a corporation. And the corporation had millions of dollars. And I said, brethren, we're fooling around here trying to make our plans without the assistance of our members who are able to put a budget together. And if she could administrate millions of dollars, I know she could handle our little old money. And so we made her the administrator. For 10 years she worked in that capacity, and we used our sisters in our planning program. We as brethren think we know everything. We don't know everything. That's the reason your wife have left you, because you say you know so much. And even in the church of my Lord, we have to learn that we have educated people that are able to put programs together. My son and my daughter, they are members of the church where I serve, and we use the young people in the service, and they raised several thousand dollars a few weeks ago for our scholarship program for our young people, to educate our young people. And I want to say this. I'm proud of my three children because they are doing the work of the church and the work of the Lord. And somebody said the preacher's children usually are the worst children in the congregation. The reason some preacher's children are the worst children in the congregation is because they run with the members' children and with the deacon's children and the elders' children. But I'm proud of the fact that all of my children are faithful members of the church. And they design programs to enhance the kingdom of God. Present it to the eldership. Present it to the deaconship. And away we go. And it makes us look good. Uh-huh. You got to use other people in the program of the church. But I get that on the last night after I get my check. But on the other hand, what must we invest some time? We're going to have to give our body. You see, a lot of us, we give our bodies to other things. When we were in the world, we stayed up all night in the club, didn't we? Some of y'all act like you were never in a club and you were never out there in the world. All of us did something in our lifetime that was antagonistic to the will of God with our bodies. Well, bring on that body and use it for God's name, honor, and glory. You gave service to the PTA. You gave service to the Urban League. You gave service to other organizations. You need to give some service to the kingdom of God. Romans 12:1, Paul said, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? As a what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Somebody said, Backers, you preach with your body. Yes, I do. When I was in Africa preaching and they couldn't understand me sometimes in the Swahili language, I used my body as I preach to emphasize. And you use your body too when you are talking sometimes. Some women, when they're talking, and you're talking to them, and they use their body. Honey, are you going to fix me a good meal? She's telling you something with her body. And I use my body in preaching. And let me tell you, some people say a preacher must preach a certain way. Well, there are different styles of preaching. But on the other hand, when I preach, I use every part of my body. as a living sacrifice to God. And God wants us to use our bodies for his name, honor, and glory. One day you're going to have arthritis and bursitis and all of these other itis, and you won't be able to use your body like you used to use it. And so we need to use our body in the kingdom of God. And then God said our treasures are in heaven, but we have treasures also here on the earth. And we need to use what God has given us in the kingdom of God. That brings me to the next point. In order for us to enhance the kingdom, we're going to have to give some money. Money. Some preacher said, we ought not talk about money. It'll drive the members away. Well, how are you going to carry on the kingdom work without money? When you go to the store and you get all of those groceries in your basket, you can't go up to the grocery store and say, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, let it roll on through. Oh, no. You can't go down to Shell Oil and get you some gas and say, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized and give me my gas. No, they want some money. And when you come to the church house, you ought to give some money. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, upon the first day of the week, let some of you lay by in store. No, it says, let every one of you. Some of us like for others to give, and we enjoy the benefit of what they give. But God says there must be an equality in our giving. And so we must remember that in order for the kingdom to flourish, we're going to have to give. And somebody said, well, we are having a hard time. Get for me Proverbs 11:24. A bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. And therefore, I'm going to hold my money until Obama is elected again or whoever will be elected again. Well, the church needs the money now. Can I get an amen? Well, the economy is bad. Well, if you withhold that which the Lord has blessed you with, you are not going to prosper. And I have taught that in the congregation where I reside over the years. And we have several offerings that we give to our missionary offering, to our radio and television offering, to our bus ministry, to our outreach ministry, to all of the other ministry. And we let the members decide. You know, that's too much. Well, it may be too much for you. You mean I can give to every ministry, but don't hold back others who want to give to a certain ministry. We have programs that's designed for our outreach ministry. And we also have monies that we are raising for our senior housing. And we let the members decide. We don't go back in the back and say, it's too much for the members. Who are you to decide how much I am to give? God has blessed me, and I want to give. Am I right about it? But you said, I'm going to withhold mine. Well, why are you withhold? Well, I don't like the way they do things down there. Well, just because you don't like the way things are being done down there doesn't mean that you're not to give. Well, I don't like the way they handle things. I want a report. Well, the brothers should give a report of how they have handled the kingdom money. Am I right about it? And the members should have that, whether it's annually, quarterly, or monthly. They should know. But there are some members that, until I know what they did with the money I gave last year, I'm not going to give anything. Well, according to the record, the money that little you gave, they bought a broom and a mop and they swept out the door. But on the other hand, you say, I don't like the way they're handling things down there. Well, you're going to lose your soul. The Bible tells you to give. If the brothers misuse the money and don't handle it properly, they're going to hell. And the elders or the preacher need to tell them that they're going to hell if they mishandle the Lord's money. But God is going to bless you when you give. Well, somebody said, I'm going to withhold my for a rainy day. Proverbs 11:24. Am I holding y'all too long? All right, let me see. All right, what does it say? Proverbs.
There is
he that scattereth. There are those that will give and prosper. When he scatters, he gives to every good work in the kingdom of God. But there are those that withhold. I'm going to hold mine more than necessary. And God said, when you withhold, come on, you are tended towards poverty. You're on your way to the poorhouse because you don't give. Whoo, y'all getting quiet in here. But I want to tell you, if we want the kingdom to prosper, we have to give. We bring all the programs together the first of the year, and we have every member to make a purpose to the program, and we carry out our budget every year. And sometimes we go over that. Why? Because the members have learned from Luke 6:38. God said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You want a blessing from the Lord? You say, I want somebody to give me. You haven't read when our Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why don't you try the Lord? Malachi 3, he said, bring in all the tithes and the offering and prove me. Put me to the test. I can open up the windows of heaven and I can pull you out a blessing that you don't have room to receive. Try the Lord. And the Lord will bless you. Not only that, but when you invest in the kingdom of God, God is going to bless you daily. You got to realize where your blessings come from. It doesn't come from Washington, D.C. You say, well, I'm looking for a job. Well, let me tell you who supplies the job. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the 17th verse, they had to be reminded, it is he, that is God, that gives you power. Give you power to get wealth. You didn't get your wealth because you're a student, because you went to the university at San Diego, because you went to UCLA. God gave you that mind and the ability. He's the one that gives you that wealth, and he will bless you. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. He said, the silver and the gold, it belongs to God. And so I'm a child of God. I'm a member of the kingdom. And he said, ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. My God can supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. What you need to do in every local congregation, you have to teach the members to give. The kingdom will prosper in San Diego when you learn how to give. Well, it's not yours anyway. When you become a part of the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:19 said, you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. What you have don't belong to you. Let me move on. You're looking funny now. There are some investments. I'm moving, Valerie. Skipping now because the time is growing now. There are some insecure investments. There are those that are making investments in women and men. Oh, she's so fine. He's so handsome. I'm going to give my whole heart to them all of my life. Investing in some man or some woman and trusting in them. Well, you got to trust somebody. The good book says he who trusted in his own heart is a fool. Some folks say, I don't trust nobody. Well, you're a fool. You're a fool. You got to trust her. And that's reading your old maid. And that's reading your bachelor now, because you can't trust nobody. But you got to trust somebody. But don't put all of your trust in any man or any woman. That's an insecure. That wife you think that have you, some little old man can come along with high heels on and have old baggy pants and walking around there, and there she goes after a young man. You think you got that woman? You think you got that husband? And that husband sees a woman with a short dress on, red lips, and she has on a new wig, and she shakes her hip, and there he goes. You lost your security. But you know what? You got to trust in God, whether you have a wife or whether you don't have a wife. Your trust is not in me. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your steps. So that's an insecure investment in man. Man will deceive you. And some have been deceived. Can I get a witness tonight? They thought they were getting somebody that was going to help them, and they deceived them. They gave their whole heart to them, and they deceived them. So you need to investigate a man or a woman before you make an investment. Y'all getting quiet. Check out his credit rate. Check out that woman that says she's this, that, and the other. She may have on a fine dress, but she has a dirty heart. He may have on a clean shirt, but he's ungodly. Before you make that investment for a life, make sure you investigate. Am I right about it? And it's now time, you better make sure it's a male or female. Now the investigation is left up to you, but on the other hand, make sure that you got a real man and you got a real woman. Because they'll fool you. On the other hand, a poor investment is the world. You said, I got to have a good time. Kick out my boots and let down my hat, Brother Mac, because I'm young. I got it. I got to go to the disco club. Later on, I'll give my life to Christ. Well, John said hurriedly in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God will abide forever. The reason that the kingdom cannot grow in some places is because we have too many worldly-minded members in the church. It doesn't take long to get folk out of the world, but it takes a long time to get the world out of them. It didn't take long for Moses to lead them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. And there are some worldly-minded members in the church that are not spiritually-minded. And it's hard to get folk in the church. I'd rather have 300 members than to have 3,000 worldly members. When you have dedicated, consecrated members of the Lord's church, you can get something done. Yes, that's a bad investment. Hebrews 11 and 25, Moses said, I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little while. Oh, my time is up, but let me tell you, I'd rather have Jesus than to have the world's goods. There are some who have invested in riches, in money. They're money-minded. They can't come to church Sunday morning and Sunday evening, and many churches are not having Sunday night service anymore because of worldly members, because they're after the world's goods. They're working day and night and in between. And they don't have time to serve the Lord. And they think money is everything. Money's not everything. Money can't buy everything. Money can buy you acquaintances. But money cannot buy you true friendship. Money can buy you food, but it can't buy you an appetite. Money can buy some men and some women, but it cannot buy true love. Money can buy medicine, but it can't buy health and strength. Money can buy a car, but it can't buy consolation. Money can buy a house, but it can't buy a home. Money can buy you some beer, but it can't buy you some spiritual blessings. Money can buy you clothes, but it can't give you peace and joy. You got $100, but you can't pray, "Oh, $100, would you help me?" The $100 isn't going to do anything. What you need is the Lord. As I hurry to my seat, money is going to pass away. Warn them, 1 Timothy 6:17, that are rich in this world, not to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. What you need to do is invest in the kingdom of God, because your soul is more important than anything on the face of this earth. As I hurry to my conclusion, don't you trust man-made churches. There are new churches that are popping up all over California. And there are some members who are silly enough to fall for these false teachings. And they say, "Well, he's on television." Just because he's on television doesn't mean that he's right. Just because he's famous, just because he's well known, doesn't make it right. I'd rather be in the church of the kingdom of God, because I'm investing in something that will last forever. One of these days, this kingdom is going to move out of this earthly state, and it's going to move to the heavenly state. There's not a denominational church that will stand when the Lord comes again. How do you know? Because Matthew 15 and verse number 13, he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up." Every man-made church is going to be rooted up. You say, "But they have a fine choir over there. They have an outreach ministry. They have this, they have that, but they don't have salvation." Salvation is in the Lord's church. And David said, "Except the Lord, as I heard it, if a seed build a house, they labor in vain to build it." But you say they're worshiping God over there. In Matthew 15:9, he said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men." I wouldn't be in a man-made church, because it's not found in the Bible. And if the church you're in is not found in the Bible, you need to get out of that church. Well, preacher, I want to get in the kingdom of God. Tell me, how can I get in the kingdom? Well, you don't jump your way in the kingdom. You don't shout your way in the kingdom. You don't pray your way into the kingdom. You don't pray the sinner's prayer in order to get in the kingdom. You got to hear the gospel. Acts 15:7, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. You are not saved the moment that you believe. You got to repent of your sin. Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance God overlooked, but now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. You got to turn from your wicked ways. You are not saved. You're not in the kingdom because you change your wicked ways. You got to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." Romans 10:9-10, "From the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And finally, if you want to get in the kingdom, you got to go to the water to get the blood of Jesus. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 3:20-21, when once the long-suffering of God waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save. You're in the kingdom. You're on your way to heaven. And let me tell you, when you get in this kingdom, you got to work in this kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:58, he said, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you're in the Lord, you are in his kingdom. When you're in his kingdom, you are in his church. And you can sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but holy, lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is just sinking sand. And when this life is all over, I have invested in the kingdom of God. I want eternal life. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When it's all over, I want eternal life. 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son has not life. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than riches untold. If you got Jesus, you got everything. Stand on your feet and say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got Jesus. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm getting happy, lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. I made that investment as a young man when I was 11 years old. I made that investment, and I want to tell you now, I'm not tired yet for running for the Lord. If you're here tonight, whoo, I'm getting happy. You need to get in this kingdom and make that investment. And when it's all over and when you die, you can be among the blessed dead. Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. For yes, and the spirit they shall rest, whoo, from their labor, and their works do follow them. All of the work that you do is being calculated by God. And one day he's going to open up his book, and he's going to judge you according to your work. What a great investment you have made. He said, so much, if you just give a cup of water in my name, I will remember it. That's a great investment. Do it for God. Ooh, I'm getting happy.